On that vote, the yeas are 58, the nays are 42. The Senate gives its advice and consent to the nomination of John Ashcroft of Missouri to be the Attorney General.
Senator Peter Fitzgerald of Illinois, presiding over the Senate, announcing Thursday that the Senate had confirmed President Bush's most controversial nomination. Dan Shore joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the Republicans and President Bush got Mr. Ashcroft confirmed.
They did.
The Democratic opposition was considerable. Did they accomplish anything?
Well, I think yes. I think, first of all, what they accomplished was a gesture towards harmony by not filibustering against this confirmation, mm-hmm. which they could have successfully done since they had 42 votes, which means enough to sustain a filibuster. And secondly, connected with that, an implicit warning, perhaps not so implicit, that they will filibuster against any Supreme Court nominee that they find too far out. Now, the retirement of Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justice O'Connor is believed to be not very far off, and so this is sort of a coming event that casts its shadow before.
Looking back on it, because it's been Thursday, a couple of days now.
Long time.
Why did President Bush make the political investment, even personal investment he did in John Ashcroft's nomination at a time when he's been trying to minimize differences with the Democrats?
Well, right. But, you know, I think the president worries a little bit about his right flank, or what they call the base constituency these days. Mm-hmm. And so, having thrown them a ban on money for family planning groups that counsel abortion, now he tosses them a very, very big bone. The head of a department that impinges on many of the matters that the right wing cares a great deal about. That's supposed to give the president running room for his bipartisan charm offensive and possibly, you know, to be able to get things done like dropping school vouchers from his education program, which they may not like, but he's really sort of taken care of them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask about that that charm offensive, because the president made really an unprecedented trip on, I guess it was Friday, to the...
Yesterday, yes.
...to the annual strategy session that the Senate Democrats hold.
A retreat.
I'm sorry, did I call it a strategy session? I misspoke. A retreat where everybody repaired their souls, reflected on the good of the American public. That being said, yep. Did that appearance have any discernible effect? You think it will in the future?
Well, by the way, when the president goes to speak to a retreat of the opposition, I think we have to go back to a different meaning of the word retreat.
Yes.
Right? It is unprecedented. It went very well. Several senators asked questions, responded to their questions. He said that he really is very serious in getting rid of the system of rancor, which has been a big thing with him. Then he went to the Republicans in Williamsburg, Virginia. He also told them he didn't want them to retaliate against the Democrats for the hard line and hard time that they gave to Ashcroft. Then there were small gestures like having Kennedy brewed over to see the film 13 Days, which is about President Kennedy, the Cuba Missile Crisis. What remains to be seen is whether this outbreak of civility mm-hmm. will register itself when it comes to legislation.
Well, speaking of this, of course, there seems to have been an initiative a day out of the White House for this past week. Education, the faith-based social services proposal, aid to the disabled, prescription drug plans. Mm-hmm. What sort of impression is this leaving of the new administration?
Well, it looks as though, you know, the Democrats find a lot worth talking about. I mean, the mood is somewhat different. There's a lot of common ground on the matter of education if the president indeed doesn't press his voucher proposal, which apparently he will not do, judging by the way he's been talking. There's some common ground. They're further apart on prescription drugs, but perhaps not irreparably. Mm-hmm. The matter of contracts for faith-based social services opened up a very complicated subject, even if the Democrats are interested, and some of them are and would support it, but there are real questions such as if a church wants to hire someone on a federal contract and the federal law says that anti-discrimination, you can't discriminate against anybody, does that mean they can't hire members of their own denomination? Mm-hmm. To carry out that contract? Is that a form Is that a form of discrimination? But without going into these small things, I think it's rather important to note, for example, that Senator Kennedy, the liberal, comes out of the White House saying, we can do business with this administration. And that's what I think at the moment is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me also ask about the economy, because the Federal Reserve made another cut in its key interest rate the other day. Estimate for budget surplus was revised again. This promotes the president's proposal for a tax cut?
I think, yeah, at least with the help of Federal Chairman Alan Greenspan, he's managed to turn this into an argument for a tax cut, because that's what Greenspan suddenly has said is so. Mm-hmm. Well, you get yesterday's figure, 4.2% unemployment. They say highest in 16 months, but 16 months ago was amidst a great deal of prosperity, so it doesn't mean very much. But there is an uncertain future, and people don't know how far it's going, and for some reason that seems to be working in favor of a big tax cut, although experts will tell you that a tax cut will not kick in time to take care of a recession if we have one. Opinion polls indicate that people who were not very interested a few months ago in a big tax cut are now becoming interested. So the administration is beginning to offer a cut maybe more than $1.6 trillion. Democrats seem to be raising their ante. And what has now to be feared is whether we get into the kind of feeding frenzy that we got with the Reagan tax cuts.
Speaking of feeding frenzy, awful lot of attention this week over the gifts that the Clintons accepted right before leaving the White House.
I love the segue.
thank you. Well, you set it up for me. Thank you. And, of course, Mr. Clinton announced yesterday that they will be paying for half the gifts they received last year.
Right.
And that Mr. Clinton's foundation is going to pay for half of his office expense in Manhattan.
Right.
Does this settle the matter? Is it over as a political issue?
Our recent president is rapidly making himself one of the more unpopular ex-presidents of all recent times. Yeah, I get mad at him because of the high rent on his 57th Street beautiful place near Carnegie Hall. Let's cut it in half. You don't like the fact I got these gifts? Should be mentioned, by the way, that one of those gift givers who is now being reimbursed is Denise Rich. Mm-hmm. She's the one who got her fugitive ex-husband pardoned when he was on the lam there somewhere in Switzerland. Now, speaking of pardon, that issue itself, I think, is not dead. There's talk now, both the Senate and House committees are planning hearings on that, and while I don't have any reason to say this for sure, I would not be surprised to see our ex-president subpoenaed to come and tell all about it.
By the way, I may have misspoken. I guess they're paying technically for all the gifts they received last year. That amounts to half the gifts that they announced, because the gift total was cumulative.
Well, they're not reimbursing some. They are reimbursing others. Of the whole $190,000, a little bit less than half is being reimbursed.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sorry if I misstated that originally. Of course, elections in Israel are going to occur this week. Ariel Sharon, once considered a national outcast, a pariah around the world, seems to be 20 points ahead the next prime minister of Israel. What effect is this going to have on events and what we have called the peace process for a decade?
Well, clearly it's a new era. It's an era where, for the time being, I don't think there'll be any effort to restore the peace process. If it can be, I think it'll be an era of hostility. Perhaps the only thing to note there is that there is some talk that Sharon may offer Barak admission into what might be a coalition government. I think that if they have a government which could be called a national unity government, they'd be less likely to go off and do something terrible of the kind of thing that Sharon is capable of doing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dan Shore.